Welcome to Meals for Maturity, Bible talks to help you mature as a follower of Jesus, by Pastor Dom Fiocco.
I love the story about some relatives from the city visiting a farm and watching their uncle do his amazing work with his dog, herding sheep into a race and then into a gate for drenching. His relatives from the city had never seen a dog in action like this before, and so they asked the farmer, "Wow, that's some dog you have there. What's her name?" The forgetful farmer thinks for a moment, and then he asks, "What do you call that red flower that smells good and has some thorns on the stem?" "A rose," they quickly replied. "That's it," the farmer said, turning to his wife. "Hey, Rose, what do we call this dog?" Forgetfulness usually hits us at some point in our lives, and some people are very good at forgetting things. You might have that gift. Apparently, research has shown us that there are a number of things that people will often forget. So 83% of people forget names. So it's not just the farmer forgetting his wife's name. 60% of people forget where something is, you know, your keys, your wallet, your phone, children. 42% of people forget faces. 49% forget what was just said. 49% forget what was just said. Almost half the population forget what was just said. Now, what was I saying? You know what? Forgetfulness is a big theme across Scripture. And in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, God knows that. And so he's put in place various elements to help us remember. So it might be a memorial event like the Passover in the Old Testament. It might be taking a piece of bread and drinking a cup of wine or juice in the New Testament. Even across society, we have days and events, don't we, put in place lest we forget. And what we find across our Bible talk today from Habakkuk chapter 3 is a passage on remembering. That is, looking back and remembering God's faithfulness in the past, because this most certainly will help us in the present. I enjoy taking people through a three-part course at our church called Hope Explored. Basically, it's helping people learn more about Jesus and the hope he offers to anyone who comes in repentance and faith. And in this Hope Explored course, there's a great definition of hope from a biblical perspective. The definition goes like this: hope is a joyful expectation for the future based on true events in the past, which changes everything about my present. And this idea of looking back to true events in the past greatly helps Habakkuk cope with what's happening across his day. And in turn, Habakkuk chapter 3 will help us to be hopeful and joyful, to be people who walk by faith, no matter what's going on in your life right now. Habakkuk lived in a tumultuous time in Judah in the 7th century before Jesus. His nation, the people of God, had on the throne this terrible ruler called King Jehoiakim. Jeremiah chapter 22 verse 17 gives us a little insight as to what he was like and how he built his own palace by mistreating workers and shedding innocent blood. What must have been devastating for the prophet Habakkuk was that he would have expected such behavior from the nations surrounding Judah, but not from the king and the leaders of his own people, people who were supposed to be the covenant people of Yahweh. And King Jehoiakim was sadly yet another king across Old Testament days who displayed this ongoing abuse of power and had clearly forgotten the character of God and his commands to his people and to the king of Judah. And in the end, we read this about King Jehoiakim in Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 19. "With the burial of a donkey he shall be buried, dragged and dumped beyond the gates of Jerusalem." But it's not just the internal problems that Habakkuk deals with in his day. And chapter 1, verse 2 to 4 gives us a snapshot of those problems that come from his society that's turned their back on God's laws and his ways. But Habakkuk also has to deal with this external threat coming to his land and people. This external problem, of course, comes with the terrifying name Babylon, or the Chaldeans. This seemingly unstoppable juggernaut of a superpower who will sweep down upon Judah and Jerusalem is terrifying for Habakkuk to think about. And he's also terribly confused as to what God is doing in using this pagan evil empire against his own precious people at the time. But Habakkuk is to learn, especially in a series of woes against across chapter 2, that God sees and God will judge this ransacking, violent, warmongering nation of Babylon. That God on high will display his glory as the waters cover the sea. And that all the earth will be silenced, will be hushed before the righteous and holy judge of all the nations and rulers and peoples. And so if we turn to Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 35, we hear this judgment falling upon Babylon. A sword against the Babylonians, declares the Lord, against those who live in Babylon, and against her officials and wise men. And then in verse 44, we read, like a lion coming up from Jordan's thickets to a rich pasture land, I will chase Babylon from its land in an instant. History shows us God judges his own people of Judah in 586 BC. But in 530 BC, he also judges Babylon. Using the Medo-Persian Empire, they flatten Babylon. And this great superpower of Babylon, remember the great image in Daniel chapter 2, this great statue with a gold head, this so-called great nation of Babylon is wiped out and completely destroyed in an instant by the Medes and Persians. You see, as Bible readers, we do learn that the last word never belongs to the Babylons of this world or the pride of man. But the way of faith is, God will have the last word. And in the context of Habakkuk's world, God demonstrates his sovereign power and authority through the orchestration of other nations that he bends and uses to do his good and perfect will. Yes, Habakkuk is to learn that God will use Babylon to judge and chastise Judah and her wicked king for all their disobedience and rebellion against God's good commands, against God's holy name. But in turn, Babylon too will be judged by falling to the next empire that God raises up for his sovereign purposes. And this is a scene, of course, that gets repeated time and time again across Bible history. And then, of course, beyond the Bible story, down through the ages, right up to our day. God will always have the last word. And you only have to turn to the book of Revelation to see this. Christian artists Matthew West and Ann Wilson sing, I've read the last page of the Bible. I know how the story ends. Remember this, my Jesus is coming back again. Trouble may last for a moment and weeping may last for a night. But I've read the last page of the Bible. And it's all going to be all right. Across the last Bible talk, I encourage us to be people who plagiarize prayers, who use the prayers of others who've gone before us to cry out to God, especially when you can't find the right words to pray to God. Well, Habakkuk chapter 3 gives us a great prayer to use, at least in part, to help us journey along in this life of faith. For the opening two verses of chapter 3 show us the righteous person lives by faith and prays. And now from verses 3 to 15, we learn the righteous person lives by faith and looks back and remembers. And guess what? Aggie has remembered how to find Habakkuk in her Bible.
Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 3 to 15. God came from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His splendor covered the heavens and the earth was full of his praise. His brightness was like the light, rays flashed from his hand, and there he veiled his power. Before him went pestilence, and plague followed at his heels. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and shook the nations. Then the eternal mountains were scattered. The everlasting hills sank low. His were the everlasting ways. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction. The curtain of the land of Midian did tremble. Was your wrath against the rivers, O Lord? Was your anger against the rivers, or your indignation against the sea? When you rode on your horses, on your chariot of salvation, you stripped the shield from your bow, calling for many arrows. Selah. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. The raging waters swept on. The deep gave forth its voice. It lifted its hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their place at the light of your arrows as they sped, at the flash of your glittering spear. You marched through the earth in fury. You thrashed the nations in anger. You went out for the salvation of your people, for the salvation of your anointed. You crushed the head of the house of the wicked, laying him bare from thigh to neck. Selah. You pierced with his own arrows the heads of his warriors, who came like a whirlwind to scatter me, rejoicing as if to devour the poor in secret. You trampled the sea with your horses, the surging of mighty waters.
According to the Bible, our faith is nourished, strengthened, built up when we remember what God has done in the past. And according to Habakkuk, the righteous person lives by faith and looks back and remembers who God is and what he's done. Hope is a joyful expectation for the future based on true events in the past, which changes everything about my present. And here in verses 3 to 15 that Aggie just read, Habakkuk gives us this kaleidoscope of historical happenings where God has proved his faithfulness, his power, his might over and over again. The basis of Habakkuk's faith is found in the faithfulness of God. And so in verses 3 to 15, he recalls the great deeds of God from the past, whether that's in the creation of our world or via the giving of the law or the Exodus story. It's a song prayer full of poetic images. So verse 6, for example, he stood and measured the earth. He looked and shook the nations. Then the eternal mountains were scattered. The everlasting hills sank low. His were the everlasting ways. And then what seems to be a mixture of the song of Moses from Exodus 15 and Deborah's song from Judges 5 and David's song from 2 Samuel 22, Habakkuk looks back and remembers some specific moments where God's glory and faithfulness has been on full display. So God comes to Moses in the non-burning, burning bush. God comes to Moses and gives him the Ten Commandments for his people. Verse 3a, God came from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran. God comes to rescue his people out from Egypt. Verse 5, before him went pestilence and plague followed at his heels. God comes to lead his people into the promised land. Verse 3b, his splendor covered the heavens and the earth was full of his praise. It's a reminder here of Habakkuk 2 verse 14 that God will do what he's promised, and one day the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Remember the context? Babylon is about to march upon Judah and butcher her and cart Judah off to exile. Chaos is about to descend upon the people of Judah. But here is Habakkuk praying. In effect, he's saying, remember, God has come to rescue his people in the past. He will certainly come again in the future. Babylon might appear to be invincible, but remember the Egyptians and the Canaanites and the Philistines? They all seemed unbeatable as well. But remember what God has done in the past. Verses 12 to 15. He's crushed the head of the house of the wicked. He's trampled down all the enemies of his people. He's guaranteed the salvation of his people and his anointed. Habakkuk knows and he recalls what God has done in the past, and his poem prayer song is now that God would again be present and act as he has done across Old Testament history, that what God has done in the past he will do again, this time upon the nation of Babylon. There is a beauty and a strength to be gained by looking back and remembering God's faithfulness in days gone by. Andrew Bonner was a Scottish pastor in the 1800s. On October 14, 1864, his wife Isabella, of 17 years of marriage, Isabella gave birth to their fourth daughter. But sadly, there were complications, and his wife Isabella tragically died during childbirth. Earlier that morning, Andrew Bonner had been meditating on scripture, on another minor prophet right before Habakkuk, Nahum chapter 1 verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him. Later in his journal, Andrew Bonner was to write, "Little did I know how much I needed that in half an hour." And every year on October 14, in his journal entries, Andrew Bonner would remember the loss of his wife, and he would go on remembering God's goodness, a stronghold in the day of trouble. God's faithfulness in days gone by. Perhaps verse 13 of Habakkuk, chapter 3, gives us a neat summary of all that Habakkuk is praying for in this song prayer. Verse 13, you, that is God, you went out for the salvation of your people, for the salvation of your anointed. The God's anointed in the story of Exodus was Moses, and God brings salvation to his people. In our case, God's anointed is, of course, the Lord Jesus, and God brings salvation to his people. Across the Old Testament and the New Testament, God goes out to deliver his people. He is mighty to save. Can you see what Habakkuk is doing across these verses? He's preaching the gospel to himself, the Old Testament gospel of the Exodus. The righteous person lives by faith and looks back and remembers who God is, what he's done. For Habakkuk and his people, that was true. And for God's people today, that's true. Except we now look back primarily to the second Exodus, not to the first. The New Testament gospel of our Exodus, being brought out of darkness and slavery and into the light and freedom of the gospel of all grace. We are now to look back in faith to the cross and the empty tomb, when God came from heaven to earth, when God's anointed crushed the head of Satan and trampled down the enemies of sin and death. Our faith is nourished, strengthened, built up when we remember what God has done in the past, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead. Verses 1 to 2 of Habakkuk chapter 3, the righteous person lives by faith and prays. Verses 3 to 15, the righteous person lives by faith and looks back and remembers. Always remember to never forget. Here's two simple ways that help me along in this life of faith and give me that focus to look back and remember what God has done. Firstly, I journal some prayers to God. Not every day, not every moment, but usually at least once a week, I write down what's happening in life at the time, or a prayer to God, or maybe my cry for help and mercy and hope. And after decades of doing this simple discipline, I now have multiple journals where I occasionally look back and see God's hand of mercy at work, especially during times of discouragement. I can look back and read a very real record of God's faithfulness happening in my life. The other thing I do to help me look back and remember God's kindness and mercy is that I listen to some good Christian music. Songs, not just what we sing at church, but also songs by Christian artists who use Bible-shaped poetry to capture what Habakkuk is doing for us across chapter 3. So Casting Crowns, for example, sing, "Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever-wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are." Maybe for you it's not journaling, maybe it's not listening to Christian songs. Maybe you can think of something else that might just help you to keep looking back and remembering God's kindness to you in days gone by. Are you part of the 60% of people who forget where something is? Maybe you go to the fridge and open the most open door in your house but forget what you're looking for. Perhaps you might even call someone, but as they pick up, you forget what you're calling about or who you're calling. Maybe, like the farmer, you forget your dog's name or even your spouse's name. But let Habakkuk chapter 3 remind us to never forget what God has done in the past, especially when, in his wrath, he displays mercy in the gospel. And that, my friends, is one truth we do well to never, ever forget.
Thanks for listening to Meals for Maturity. Keep growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ.